bless you. We welcome you tonight to our Wednesday night service, and certainly happy to have you all join us online. Trust that you are in a place where you can just give your undivided attention to the word of the Lord as we just invite our Lord to sit with us and speak with us tonight through his word. So as we proceed in our journey through Ephesians chapter 2, we want to just open with a word of prayer, and we'll go from there. Let's pray. Father, we come before your presence. God, just thank you for another day that you have given us. How we appreciate, Lord, you've given us a heart to want to be here, just hearing your word tonight. Reminded of Adam and Eve and how you would come down in the cool of the evening and speak to your children. God, tonight we pray that you would do the same. We, descendants, Lord, of Adam and Eve, may you come and speak to us tonight in the cool of the evening. Just trust, God, that you would help us to draw closer to you in your word. And as your prophet told us, that if revelation was beyond us, then we should look up and ask you for it. So we ask that you would speak to our hearts and reveal your word to us, God, that we have clarity and understanding. And all of our getting, we'll get understanding. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's get in our Bibles and turn here to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to encourage you, those that are at home, if you would just also get your Bibles. I know that we show everything on the screen, but oftentimes if you got your Bible and you got a highlight or even just a little pen, you can make notes, things that the Lord would just kind of speak to you. You can always go back and refer to that later. So always try to remain as engaged as possible. Don't depend totally on the technology. We appreciate the technology, but I believe God wants us to stay engaged when it comes to studying his word. So let me encourage you to do that tonight. If you have your Bibles, let's turn here to Ephesians chapter 2. Just a few verses here, and then we'll get started right in our slides. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." This is a beautiful thought that that Paul is giving to us when we really think about where we were and look at where we are. This is everyone's personal testimony that God is quickened. He's made us come alive. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but God has brought us to life. We've each one received a personal resurrection. Amen. We thank God for that. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," which we identified Satan as the prince of the power of the air, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Amen. It's a spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Verse 3 says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So we will kind of focus on that verse tonight. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind." Amen. When we become Christians, sold out, dedicated to the cause of Christ, we no longer live by our own fleshly desires. We realize that our life does not belong to us. Amen. The scripture says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" So your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And God wants you to take care of his temple. So here, you know, we understand, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We want to talk about that tonight. Verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. How we thank God for this precious gift of grace. And we ought to never make grace a disgrace. Amen. Never make grace a disgrace. Let us just look at a couple key statements. I won't read on. We'll just kind of take our time and just focus on verse 3 tonight. And then if the time permits, then we'll make our journey into verse 4. But we won't rush through this. We'll just let the Lord speak to us as we go ahead. Let's go to some key statements here. Slide 3. And just read some of these statements again. Now you see, before anything can be quickened, there has to be something there to be quickened by. Amen. Before anything can be quickened, as we all were quickened, you know, quickened from a life of sin and trespasses. But in order, and if you see before anything can be quickened, then there has to be something there to be quickened by. Amen. I thank God for that. This other statement says there's no other thing that could happen to any person so great as the changing from death to life. A man, if he was dying physically and could be healed physically, that would be a great thing. But nothing so great as when he is spiritually dead and God has quickened him to life. We really, really appreciate the Lord Jesus for the life that he's given us. Reading in my daily Bible reading, I believe it was today, and there in John 1, it talked about how, you know, it just John's just giving us the description of how we were just like the earth. We were form. I mean, without form, we were void, darkness, you know, just living in darkness. But Christ comes in to bring light. Amen. Christ comes in to bring life to us. You don't really know how to live until you know Jesus. Amen. You don't even know how to live. You live a life of complete darkness. It's empty. It's void. But when you come to know the Lord Jesus, he gives you life more abundantly. Now, I didn't say that you wouldn't have trials and tribulations and distresses. You know what? Whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, you're going to have trials, tribulations, and distresses. The reason you have trials, tribulations, and distresses is because we live in a fallen world. It's a sinful world, right? So because of that, we have to have these trials, tribulations, distresses. However, if I'm going to have it, I'd rather have Christ in my life helping me through. He gives me a peace that passeth all understanding. It guards my heart and mind. When everybody else around me is complaining and worried and all that, I have a peace because Christ gives me that peace. Amen. I know that he's in control. So the devil has what I call boundaries. So far he can go. Amen. He's only going to go as far as God allows him, just like he did in the story of Job. So, amen. Get Christ. Amen. You'll have that peace. Without Christ, I think they have a saying, no God, no peace. No God, then no peace. Amen. This next statement is made here. An apple tree is an apple tree. A peach tree is a peach tree. Apple tree is an apple tree because it's an apple tree. A peach tree is a peach tree because it's a peach tree. It's got a peach tree seed or an apple tree seed. And a Christian is a Christian because Christ lives in that person. A Christian is a Christian because Christ lives in that person. Another statement that is made, it says there's only two classes of people spoke of in the New Testament, the children of God and the children of the devil, also known as the children of disobedience and the children of obedience. Are you going to obey God's word or disobey God's word? It's really just that simple. And what scripture tells us is that even things that in the word that we feel like might be a little bit too hard, especially when it comes to popular opinion, The word always goes against popular opinion, always. You know, when you really think about some of the people in Scripture that's had to stand up, the Hebrew boys, the Daniel in the lion's den, they had to go against popular opinion, right? And even today, we're going to have to go against popular opinion. But when it comes to what the Word of God says, the Bible says that the commandments of God are not grievous. It's not hard. It's not hard. It's just a decision that we make that, God, I'm going to obey what you said. I'm going to obey your word. I'm going to live for you. Praise the Lord. This next statement here is, now we are seated with him with power and authority over every devil. Amen. Amen. You do not have to accept any attack that the devil brings upon you. You are seated with Christ with power and authority over every devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's something that you don't have to pray for. You have it right now as a believer. All right. Another statement says here, for the spirit of Antichrist that you heard that was to come into the world is already in the world now, working in the children of what? Disobedience. Disobedient to what? The word. So it's people that's disobedient to the word. This is very important that we understand that. Sometimes we look for some, you know, these other great manifestations in people's lives and we say, oh, that's a child of disobedience. No. You can have a humble spirit. You can be the most kind person in the world. But if you refuse to follow the word of God, you are considered a child of disobedience. Amen. Praise the Lord. God wants people that will obey his word. Eve disobeyed the word. That's what happened. That's what created all the problems, because one person disobeyed the word. But we can't sit around and point our fingers at Eve anymore. When you point one finger at Eve, you got four fingers pointing back at you, because we all are guilty of disobeying the word. Amen. We want to come in line with God's word. What did God ask of us to do? That's what we want to do. It should just be a simple, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. This last statement says this. If he can only get that nature, that spirit to agree with him, then that nature dies. If you just get that nature, that spirit that's within you, if you can just get it to agree with him and agree with his word, then that old nature that you have will die. That's what he promised in the book of Ezekiel. I'll give you a new heart. Then he said, I'll give you a new spirit. And then thirdly, he said he placed his spirit in there. Problem is, many of us get the new heart, we get the new spirit, but we never go far enough to get his spirit dwelling on the inside of us. Amen. When we have his spirit will agree with his word. Amen. Because the spirit and the word are one. All right. I am slipping now over to slide 7. And we're focusing on verse 3 tonight here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. The scripture says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. Now, I love Paul using the words in time past. So when you come to Christ, your language should change. Your conversation should change. Your associates should change. There should be a number of things that change when you really come to Christ. I remember a story. I had been going to church for years, and everybody knew that I was a church boy. I was going to church, but that was just a title of going to church. It didn't mean that I was serving Christ, that I was yielded to him. And I remember when I really gave my heart to the Lord Jesus, I remember I just started driving. I had some friends. They jumped in the car, and we all worked at the same place, lived in the same neighborhood and worked at the same place. And they jumped in the car, and I jumped in the car, and I'm driving, and they got in my car, and we're driving home, and my friend reached over, turned the radio on, and it just, you know, he got to whatever music he wanted to listen to. Well, because I'm a Christian, I didn't listen to that music no more, so I quickly turned it off, and, man, I don't listen to that no more. I think he tried again. I said, no, I told you, I don't listen to that anymore. My appetite changed. My desires changed. And I was a young man, and my friends knew that. I was not trying to, trying to shame him or anything like that. It's just that, look, if we're going to ride together and I'm the one driving, and not only I'm the one driving, it's my car, we're going to do it the way that I do it. Now, if I'm riding with you in your car, you can do whatever you want to do. Amen. I just sit there and pray. The Lord break the stereo system or something. But I just sit there and pray. But if it's mine, right, you just can't do whatever you want to do with mine. There's a certain level of respect that goes there. But my point is that when you come to know Christ, people can tell that you've changed. People know that you changed. One time I was walking through the hallways in school and friends, I think it was in between my junior year and maybe my sophomore year, my junior year. And sophomore year, these friends, they were all right with me. I get back as a junior, and I guess word must have been spread around that I was a Christian, you know, really a Christian now. And as I'm walking through the hall and we were late kind of going to class. I was already went to class and I had stepped out for something, and I saw two of my friends in the hallway. I said, y'all better get to class. That's all I said. Y'all better get to class. And next thing you know, I got word come back to me. You think you holier than everybody else. I said, well, what did I say? Just y'all better get to class. I guess they must have felt the wrath of God was coming down through the words that I was speaking. You know, people can tell that there's a difference in you when you really get saved. Praise the Lord. People can tell. They should be able to notice that. And let me tell you something. You don't have to be what we call a cross-back Christian. Amen. A cross-back Christian, they want to carry a cross with them everywhere they go so people can see that they're saved. Your life should speak loud enough that people will know that you're saved. Without you saying a word, people can see that you're saved. Amen. It's always a blessing when you can walk in a store or walk out in public and somebody say, I see something on you. I see. We were just recently walking across the street. You know, me and my wife was going to get smoothies one day and walking across the street. And this man was driving down the street, you know, and he stopped his car and he let us walk by and he rolled his window down. He said, I see something on her. I see something on her. And they say, what church you go to? They can tell. Now, I know they probably look at the way she dressed, but you know what? It's a lot of other people wear skirts too. Mm-hmm. Amen. But they ought to see more than just your skirt. Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord. They ought to be able to see Christ in the midst of that. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. It's always a blessing when folk can see Christ in your life. Amen. Here the scripture says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. We all had. See, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, that's the key word, by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. Your nature calls you to do what you did. Your nature causes you to do what you do right now. And this is why it's so important that you get a nature change. I remember my pastor used to always say, you can take a hog and bring him out, take him out of the pig pen and dress him up, put a tuxedo on him, amen, and put some cologne, your best cologne on that hog, and then turn the hog loose. Turn them loose. I mean, you get them all ready to go to some special event, but you turn that hog loose with a tuxedo and perfume on, the hog would go right back to his pig pen, which he came out of, because his nature had not been changed. Amen. And this is what we've done as Christians. We've just kind of dressed up the outside. But God wants to do something on the inside. And what happens on the inside will reflect itself on the outside. Praise the Lord. Look at this statement that is made here on this slide. It says he wasn't made an eagle right then. He was always an eagle. And a Christian always was. He says that's the reason the divorce, when you're divorced because you were trapped into it, see, by your first parents, Adam and Eve, you become a sinner by nature. You didn't want to be, but now you heard the gospel and faith cometh by hearing, revelation come by hearing. There's a little something inside of you. Now, we talk about, you know, that by nature. Let's just look at another a scripture really quick. And this is Psalm 51 and verse 5. Let's just look at that really, really quick. This was by nature, by nature. Psalm 51 and verse 5. Actually, it's just hard to read. This is a beautiful psalm. Let me start at verse 1, please. I'll move on, but I love David acknowledging his sin. You know, nowadays folk don't know how to acknowledge sin. They just jump, they live right over the top of it. David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." This is, amen, the key verse. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Amen. I got to keep going. "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities." I love this. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." This is important. Oftentimes people don't lose their salvation, but they do lose the joy of their salvation. And what you need God to do is restore the joy of your salvation. Amen. "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." All right. Let's go back to this slide here. David says he was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did his mama conceive him. That wasn't just David's testimony. That's everybody's testimony in here. Amen. We were shaping in iniquity, and then in sin did our mother conceive us. This is why we have a sinful nature, and the nature must be changed by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. I'm going to these quotes on this slide. Here under the message, the super sign says, "Notice the continuity of his unchanging word. Also the Holy Spirit, Jesus, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he will remind you, reveal these things that I've told you, and also will show you things to come." Now, the Bible, the people say today, there is no such thing as a prophet in the world. Why is it Paul said in the church there were first apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists? That's all a part of Ephesians 4. You'll see that, that the scripture says that New Testament said God said in the church prophets. The New Testament said that, because some people say that's only in the Old Testament. No, Paul said it in the New Testament that God, not man, God said in the church prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists. And they have a very specific work. So we know that anybody that comes and says, well, prophets are not used anymore. They don't know scripture. Amen. That's just bottom line. They don't know scripture. You can't talk your feelings. You can't talk your emotions. Read the Bible. Amen. Paul said it, that God did it. And then when you look in the scripture, there was men that prophesied against Paul. Even Jesus was a prophet, right? The prophet of all prophets. When Jesus was going, getting ready to go to the cross, the great religious leader at that time, I can't think of his name right now, but he prophesied, right? When Paul was getting ready to go to a certain city, they say, don't go to Jerusalem. Somebody prophesied against Paul. I believe it was Philip. Philip had four daughters. They were prophetesses. All four of them were prophetesses. So anybody that tell you that that didn't happen in the New Testament, I'm sorry, they're just not reading their Bible. They're not reading their Bible. All right, let's keep going. It says, certainly there was. The Holy Ghost is a prophet. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he will reveal or teach you, show you these things that I've told you has all been a riddle. You don't understand them now, but it's not for your age now. But when the Holy Ghost has come, he will make those things live out right to the promise. Not only that, but he'll show you things that has to come. Glory, the continuity of God's word, God's promise, God's spirit. We're living in the hour, watching the unfolding of the prophecies of the age coming to pass. What a great time we're living in. The Holy Spirit was to show us things that was to come. Look at this. He says, man has ever tried to achieve and make for himself a name by making him a super sign. What makes a man try to make himself something super over the other? The prophet asks this question. What makes a man try to make himself something super over the other? Try to be more super than the other person next to you. Amen. See, that's a spirit. We got to understand that every part of the body is needed. No matter what part of the body that you perform, every part of the body is needed. Even my head can't do what my hands can. And my head is telling my hands what to do. But my head can't do what my hands can. My head can't do what my feet can, even though my head tells my feet what to do. Hallelujah. If I didn't have feet on this body, it wouldn't carry the head nowhere. All right. So every part of the body is necessary and needful. Praise the Lord. What makes a man try to make himself something super over the other? Why does he do that? Look at this. Because in him, he is a nature. By nature, he's a sinner. But in stature, he's a fallen son of God. Now, Brother Branham called that a sinful nature that makes us do that, right? It says, in him, he's a nature. By nature, he's a sinner. But in stature, he's a fallen son of God. As I think about this statement, what makes a man try to make himself something super over the other? Lord, I may have it wrong, this character in scripture. I want to say it was Nimrod. The Bible said something very unique about him. It's like he was the first one to kind of start warring and capturing other people, right? And I think the Bible called him a hunter of men, something like that, a hunter of men. So when you see that hunting men, he was actually trying to capture, trying to establish and make himself bigger than everybody else. Now, by making himself bigger than everybody else, then he can enforce his religion on everybody else. Oh, God, help us. Amen. That's why you see that same spirit in denominations, bigger churches. They can enforce them at certain things on the smaller ones. Amen. But if God is for us, then who can be against us? Amen. Look at this. Why does he make himself such a pretty home, making it better all the time? The bird don't make its home any different. The groundhog still lives in the ground like he did 1,000 years ago. See, the bird still builds a nest like he did 1,000 years ago. See, but man is increasing. Why? He is a fallen son of God. There's something in him that tells him a palace more beautiful. There's something in him that's trying to find it, is searching for it. Oh, if we look at some of these homes today, what will them be on the other side? Now, ain't that something? Amen. What will it be on the other side? It says, when a fallen nature can do a thing like this, what will it be? But that's what makes him do that. His nature inside of him, though he is fallen, he tries to make something in himself. He tries to do that. It's been from beginning. This other sermon here in the message, works is faith expressed. The prophet says, now here, predestinated plan is in plain view, just as other seed. The word of God is a seed and must have the ground prepared beforehand. If you sowed seed, just throw it out there on the ground, it would do no good. The birds would pick it up. You throw it among thistles and thorns, it'll choke it out pretty soon. Jesus's parable said so. So the ground has to be made ready first. Oh, glory. So God in sovereign grace prepares the heart first. He prepared you before the foundation of the world to receive him in this age. If you could only catch that. We didn't stumble into the message. Amen. God was allowing certain things to happen. He was preparing our ground that once we heard this truth, we would be in position to receive it. I remember just recently having a conversation with a family, amen, and I believe they were telling me how they were waiting 7 years before they had their first child. 7 years. And they were married 7 years and so on and so forth. And, you know, as soon as I heard seven, I'm like, oh, my, that's a number of completion, you know. And when you reach that level of completion, then God brings, you know, the child into your marriage. It shows there was something there. God was preparing their ground so they can receive a higher revelation, more understanding as to what's going on. Your life itself is tied into God's numerology. Hallelujah. Many of us, if we just stopped and just looked at it, God was pre-preparing us for many of things, preparing us to receive the word, preparing us to receive him. Amen. He prepared you before the foundation world to receive him in this age. He foreknew you by his foreknowledge and ordained you to eternal life. He knew you, therefore, he prepared you. He knew you, therefore, he prepared you. That's the reason you staggered out of these things and staggered into what you have now. It was God leading you to the place where he had ordained for you to be. Or if this ground isn't prepared beforehand, it can't grow. That's the reason to see the faith when you're preaching faith, see the discernments of the Lord and see what takes place in all the gifts of the Bible working. People work themselves up. Oh, hallelujah, I believe it. And come up and find themselves disappointed. See, the ground has to be foreordained, and you know when it strikes it. You know when it strikes it. Praise God. It says, like my little eagle last night. It says he knew when he heard that scream of the mother eagle there was a lot difference between that and the cluck of the hen. And I'm just, he's not going to go into the story, so I'm going to just quickly just share this. Brother Branham used to always tell this story. It says, you know, one day a mother eagle had about three eggs that she knew that were laying there and was going to come to maturity. But some kind of way, one of the eggs got, you know, was missing from the nest. And the mother brought the other two babies, you know, four. She set them, hatched them, and, you know, and they came forth. But she's like, I got to find my other baby. And I think what happened, somebody went and robbed the nest and took this eagle. I took the eagle egg out and then took it to a chicken coop and just put the egg in the chicken coop. Well, when the eagle, it was born in the chicken coop. Amen. It was because atmosphere is what caused it to come to birth. And, you know, they had the right amount of heat and things like that. And it brought the little eagle to birth. But as the eagle began to grow, he realized that his diet was a little different than the chickens. When they would cluck, he couldn't cluck like them. I mean, everything that they would do, just something, it was just, you know, it was just different. And, And even his body just began to get larger and larger. And like he couldn't understand, why am I amongst the chickens, but I'm not like these chickens. I don't know what I am, but I'm not like them. And maybe the mother chicken trying to comfort him and everything like that. But, you know, here's some food. I can't eat that. I just, something about my diet, it will not allow me to eat that. Well, one day mama said, you know what? These other eagles are kind of growing up. They can maybe stay here by themselves. I got to go find where that other eagle that I lost. I'm just going to search the area and see if I can find them. And that mother eagle went flying around. And she spotted them down on the ground. And when she spotted him, all she did was just let out a scream. And when he heard that scream, he looked up like, what in the world was that? What's screaming at me like that? And the other chickens just still playing. But this little eagle knew something was talking to him. Praise the Lord. So my mama eagle just began to scream. And before you know it, they begin to just scream. He would scream and she would scream and he would scream and she would scream. And they would just begin to make have a little conversation. And through that, mama began to encourage the little eagle. So you're not like them. You can come up out of there. You got wings. And they taught me that I couldn't fly. They told me the days of miracles was past. They lying to you. You can come out of that situation. Hallelujah. He said, all you got to do is just flap them wings. Just get a running start and flap them wings and you'll come up here where I'm at. And that boy began to flap them wings and he got out of that chicken coop and went to where eagles fly. And I'm going to tell you something. This is what Jesus says. Where the carcass is, the eagles will gather. Where the fresh killed meat is, where the fresh word for the hour is, where the revealed word for your day is, the eagles will gather. Like my little eagle last night. He knew when he heard that scream of that mother eagle there was a lot of difference between that cluck of the hen, because he was an eagle from the egg. He was an eagle from the egg. Glory. He wasn't made an eagle right then. He always was an eagle. And a Christian always was. That's the reason the divorce. When you're divorced because you were trapped into it, he's talking about divorce from sin. All right. So you were trapped into it. See, by your first parents, Adam and Eve, you become a sinner by nature. You didn't want to be, but now you heard the gospel and faith cometh by hearing. Revelation come by hearing. There's a little something inside of you. Another man sitting right by you say, I don't believe that stuff. See, that's the chicken. The chicken in the chicken coop, don't listen to that. But the eagle said, no, it's something about that voice. It's something about what I'm hearing. And you can't hear the same pitch that I hear because you can't produce the same sound that I can produce. Praise the Lord. Amen. Another man sitting right by you, I don't believe that stuff. Nonsense. I don't believe it. Nothing to that. You know, I remember a story as I bring this, you know, I finished that in a little bit. Brother Billy Paul used to tell it all the time. They took a book to a man, felt led to take a book to a friend of his in the hospital, and say, just read this message. And as he was reading the message from Brother Branham, it got to, you know, this part of the story of the chicken and the eagle, and when he was reading it, his friend come back and say, how you enjoyed that sermon? He said, I didn't like it at all. I said, well, you didn't like it. What happened? He said, that man in that book called me a chicken. He said, oh, that's strange. In the same book, the man called me an eagle. Right? See, it just depends on what you identify with spiritually. I hope you can read between the lines spiritually. Amen. Amen. Glory. We're using natural animals, but you have to be able to catch spiritually what's being said. Amen. Glory to God. Either child or disobedience or a child of obedience, child of the devil, a child of God, eagle, chicken. All right. Glory to God. Look at this. He says, like they did on the day of Pentecost, they laughed and said, these men are full of new wine. It was a great thing to those it was happening to. Why? It was God revealing himself to the individual while others laughed. These were rejoicing. It was an individual revelation, which is faith. Faith that's revealed. If it wasn't faith, then it wouldn't even be there. It was faith. So faith is a revelation of something that God reveals to you. You're walking that. When Abraham believed that he was going to have a son, no matter what the conditions was, he was walking by a revelation, something that God gave him. Even Peter. Jesus asked the question, who do men say I am? And say, some say you're Jeremiah, and some say one of the prophets, some say this. And then Jesus gave him a very specific question and say, now, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, I say thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. So you can go talk to all kind of people you want to. They don't have the revelation. But God himself is the one that gives you the revelation. And like Jesus said, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. He said, they are they that testify of me. Can I tell you this? Search the scripture. This message that we're talking about, this prophet that we talk about, search the scriptures and see if the scriptures promised that he would be here. Because the scripture itself testified that he would be coming. All right. Let's keep reading. Just seeds has to have the ground prepared first. Therefore, all he foreknew, he called. All he called and all he foreknew, he predestinated. If you want to read that, Romans 8, 28 to 34. And also Ephesians 1, 1 through 5. Say, all he foreknew, he did call. And all he called, he justified. All he justified, he has already glorified. There's nothing out of order. We think it is. We think there is. But look in the scriptures. It's just hidden exactly the way God's word said it would. We see the message is rejected today. Isn't that just what the scripture said they would do? Sure. All these things are ordained of God. All right. I want to pick up over here in Galatians chapter 5. Starting at verse 15, Galatians 5. It says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Amen. You all remember Brother Branham telling us the story of the Indian chief. And the Indian chief was just become a Christian, and he asked him, how are you getting along? He said, I'm pretty bad, pretty good. He said, what you mean by that, pretty bad, pretty good? He said, you know, it's like I have these two dogs. One's a white dog, one's a black dog. And he says, sometimes, you know, it just, these things just worn within me. And they say, well, which one win, chief? Which one win, chief? He said, depends on the one I feed the most. Praise the Lord. Amen. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, that's works of the flesh. Fornication, that's works of the flesh. Uncleanness, that's works of the flesh. Lasciviousness, that's works of the flesh. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. All this is works of the flesh. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you operate in all of that and still call yourself a Christian, please know the scripture tells you you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God living like that. You need to be delivered now. Amen. Amen. Ask God for deliverance from those things now so you can live according to his word. Says verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. I love a pastor said this years ago. He said, how long is long? That's why God didn't say short suffering. We there's no definition as to what long suffering is. But if you can't put up with people, something wrong with your spirit. You cut people off. because they ain't done it the way that you want them to do it. You cut them off real quick. That's not long suffering. That's not long suffering. That's short suffering. Amen, church. Right? I mean, that we want the fruit of the Spirit bearing from our life. If you don't have these things, it's not right. We're falling short. Amen. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. All right. We don't want to be children of wrath. Amen. We want to be children of God. Let's go on to a little bit more of the quotes here. I'm reading from a sermon, Souls That Are in Prison Now. It says, now the soul of a man is not the body of man. It's the soul. And the soul is something that's the nature of the Spirit. So you're a triune being. You have your body, your spirit, your soul. Your body is this outer exterior, amen. And you can, the way that it has the ability to see, to taste, to smell, to touch, to feel, those things. And then you have on the inside a spirit, amen, a spirit. And that has like affection, reason, memory, emotion. And there is one other thing I can't think of right now, but it's impacted by that. And then you have underneath that spirit is a soul. And that's either controlled by doubt or faith. Amen. So understand that. And so what's inside the soul? If there's faith inside the soul, then that's going to come through the spirit out of the body. Amen. It's going to manifest in all those realms. But if it's doubt, then that's going to come through the spirit out of the body. It's going to be manifested that way. So you want to make sure on the inside that you're controlled by faith. Amen. By faith in the word of God. Look at this. It says, that's the nature of the spirit. And then when the nature of a man, when he said we are dead, the scripture plainly tells us that we are dead and our lives are hid in God through Christ, sealed there by the Holy Spirit. Now, it wasn't that your body died. It wasn't your spirit died. It was the nature of your spirit died. The nature of it. There was a statement I remember. Brother Branham made a statement years ago. He says he just kind of drew a circle, and he put in that circle, he put a little snake, and then drew another circle like a heart, and then he put a dove in the other one, and it says now in this dove heart, you have. All these things that we just read over in Galatians, just kind of all around that, the peace, the love, the joy, the long suffering, all those things, all that's manifest in the heart where the Holy Spirit is living. But that where that snake is, all that other stuff that we read in fornication, adultery, lasciviousness, and idolatry, witchcraft, all of that, that's in that heart where there's a snake. That's what's manifest on the outside. And it says, what happens when a person's repent? They repent of adultery, they repent of fornication. And it just kind of strikes off, the things that are in that heart or that was around that heart. They repent of it. The problem is that the snake that's on the inside is still there. So even though they repented of it, the snake is still there. And over time, it starts manifesting the same behavior all over again. What has to happen is that snake nature has to change to dove nature. And only God can change your nature in order to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll come to church and do all the things that you need to do in church. But when you leave church, that old desire is still there. Praise the Lord. We want to be free from that desire. All right. It says this. the nature, which is a soul, the nature of your soul is God. If you're born again, if it's not, it's of the world. Anything that begins has to end. So therefore, the only way that you can have eternal life is to have a life that never did begin. Then your life did begin, and then your life did begin when you were born. When God breathed the breath of life into your nostrils and you became a living soul, then you begin then. It says the nature that was in you, by nature, you was of the world. And see, this is what Ephesians 2:3 is telling us, that we were by nature children of wrath, even as others, right? It says, so that nature that was in you, by nature, you was of the world. That's why you want to party. That's why you want to dance. That's why you want to do all these things that were really ungodly. Amen. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I have a problem when the church brings the things of the world into the church. Church supposed to be holy. The church supposed to be representing where God dwells. And God tells us that if we love the world and the things of the world, he say the love of God is not in us. So when our church leaders are bringing the world right to the church, I thought I got delivered from that. So why would I want to go to church and get right back into the same, you know, get into the same environment again? Something wrong with that. Amen. Praise the Lord. You were actually, it says the nature that was in you, by nature you was of the world, alienated from God. You were actually an animal. That's exactly right. Anyone knows that we're mammal. Says, how many knows that we are a mammal? We are a warm-blooded animal, but that is what we are by our earthly creation. But you see, what made us different from other mammals was that God put a soul upon us. Now, the other mammals don't have to wear clothes. No other animal has to wear clothes to hide his shame but us. We're the only ones that does because we have a soul. But see, God in the beginning knew what a man would be like, and he created the earth and brought up all kinds of animals from the very lowest to the highest, and the highest animal come forth was man. And it says, and then first man was made. He was a spirit man. Now, this is Genesis 1:26, when we were made in the image of God. That was a spirit man. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we were made. Our spirits were made in the image of God. But then the flesh came in Genesis 2. All right, Genesis 2:7. It says, first man was made. He was a spirit man in the image of God, which God is a spirit. St. John 4. Now he is a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth. And thy word is the truth. Now we worship him in spirit and truth. He is a spirit being. Praise God. It's not just worshiping, but it's worshiping in spirit and truth. And I tell everybody, that don't mean this church. That don't mean this church. That's just the name of the church. But it's a place that you can get in God where you worship him in spirit and you also worship him according to his written word. Amen. Glory to God, what he's written in his word. Look, it says, then there was no man until the soil. Then God formed a man out of the dust of the earth. Then he taken from his side a byproduct, a rib, and from that separated this man, which had a dual nature. All right. Now, the first man, Adam, actually had a dual nature. Look at what Brother Ram said, which was both feminine and masculine. Oh, my, 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 my. Let's just think about that. Now, you people say that they were born that way. Adam wasn't even born. God created Adam. Right. But Adam was, when he was created, he came with a dual nature. He had both feminine and masculine in him. And it was only when God caused Adam to go to sleep and God performed the very first surgery that was ever performed. So those of y'all that are against surgery, remember God did perform surgery on Adam. Praise the Lord. So here Adam had the first surgery. He took that rib out of Adam. Not only did he take the rib out of Adam, he took the feminine spirit out of Adam. Praise God. Amen. And if God did that at the beginning, he meant for it to be that way all the way through now. So nobody's born that way. What happens, they accept the spirit at some point in time. Either they accept it or their parents put it on them. It's the truth anyhow. I know of somebody, I don't know him personally, but I've heard of a story where parents caused this child to change their sex at a very early age. At a very early age, made the boy become a girl at a very early age before they really even knew what they could do. And went through all these surgeries to mess the body up where the body can't even go back the other way. Parents did that. Parent delinquency does that. Right. I mean, never even gave it. What does that child know? And that's why people used to teach us when we were younger. No, don't do that, son. No. I mean, if I was playing with a lot of girl toys, one of my uncles, daddy, somebody. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. So spirit get off of you. Come on you on that. It does. You sitting there braiding the hair and all. Watch that. Praise the Lord. Here's G.I. Joe. You supposed to get him and just break him up and put him back together and break it. That's what little boys do. Amen. Truth anyhow. Right? I mean, now we get upset, but no, just let them express themselves. No, there is a spirit behind that expression. Praise the Lord. Amen. We can see beyond that. It's not just them expressing themselves. The devil is trying to pervert mankind. The devil doing this. And we just allow it just to happen. It's not natural. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. God didn't make no mistakes. Hallelujah. And when a child is born, I mean, how can anybody tell me when a child is born and releasing their first cry? And we know whether it's a boy or a girl. We look at the anatomy. We know that. You can't sit there and say it's not a boy. I know the anatomy says it's a boy, but this is a girl. That's a problem with the parent. No, I mean, look, it is what it is. And then you're going to tell me that the first cry that come out that child, you tell them that they really want to be a girl. And when they was born a boy, that's nonsense. Amen. We put those spirits on those children. They accept them. And this is why we have the problems that we have now. Lord, the world is messed up. The world is messed up. Some little couple, they had a thing, somebody showed me, and the mama wants so badly to be the woman wants to be a man. She got a beard and everything else, but giving birth to babies. It's a shame. It's a shame. The sin has just got us in a place where people don't even know what right from wrong is anymore. If you want to know right from wrong, go back to the Bible. But now it's a couple things happen. Either they don't want you to have a Bible or they change the Bible. But you can't get away from this truth. Look at this. People think that I hate folk. I don't hate folk. I will tell you this. I do hate sin. I hate sin. And I don't care what form it's in. I mean, if it's an adulterous relationship, I hate it. If it's fornication, I hate it. I hate sin. And God hate it too. God going to judge us for our sin. Amen. Place him to, he says, and he taken the feminine out because it was love. And he placed it into a person called Eve, that Adam called Eve, which was his wife. That's where his love, natural phileo love, held to his wife. That's the way a man should be today, in her back to her husband, the man, the masculine, the woman, the feminine. Amen. And then, see, after he done made man in his own image, created he them, male and female, there was no man until the soul, and he put him in the dust of the earth, and therefore he became he was that man. This human man was mammal. He was animal. But he put this spirit of God, a life into him, and made him on the basis that he would make a choice. Then when this man says, now we think we're something, just remember, what are we? A clod of dirt, that's all. And because dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. So when you see this man walking down the street, thinks he's somebody, you know, and got a little education in things. You remember, he is a clod of Indiana dust. That's all. And that woman that's all dressed in shorts and smoking cigarettes and carrying on down the street, twisting like she owned the whole country, it's a clod of Indiana dust, and that's the way it's turning back. So you're not very much to begin with, see? So that's right. That's what you are. It says, but that soul that's in there, that soul is what God is working on. If he can only get that nature, that spirit to agree with him, then that nature dies. Hallelujah. That nature that wants you to smoke a cigarette and dress provocatively and all that, that nature should die. Look, it says that nature and the love of the world dies, and the things of the world is dead, because if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not in you. And I tell you, I remember I went through that whole series of love of the world and the things of the world. I think I preached 2 or 3 sermons on it. And, you know, it just so happens sometimes when we're in a series as a church, we're in a series. That's just bottom line. And people come through the door while you're in that series. And these are sermons that you're not going to hear at mega churches. Why are they going to tell you about the love of God not in you? They tell you God loves you. No matter what you do, God loves you. God forgives you. People repent every week and get forgiven. People get saved every week. Actually, sometimes it's the same people getting saved every week, and they count it as a conversion. It's not a conversion if they're coming back next week. Praise the Lord. When they're truly converted, they won't be coming back. They'll actually be helped strengthening somebody else. Praise the Lord. Say David said when he was, you know, he said pretty much when he's converted, then will I teach transgressors your ways. If you ain't start teaching transgressors God's ways, then something's wrong with your experience. Praise the Lord. But sometimes people walk in and it's a series. Now, as a pastor, what I can do is shun to declare the whole counsel of God in order to appease the soul that's there. Or I can say, now, God, you let them come to church on this day. I didn't call them. I didn't invite them. You put it in their heart to come to church on this day. Now, God, you know what you told me to say. What I'm going to do is be obedient. Because when I get to the other side, he won't point no finger at me and say, now you failed to tell what I told you to say. God know what need to be said, and he also know when it need to be said. So I've learned to just trust God. And I'd rather have folk upset with me than have God upset with me. Praise the Lord. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not in you. And a man must be born again, so this nature has to die, and the nature of God comes and lives in you. And God is the only thing there is that never did begin or never can end. See, you read that again, what Paul said among, in verse 3, he says, among whom also we had our conversations in times past. That means we change. There's another scripture where we say that the life I now live, right? Paul said the life I now live. That means he lived a different life before. And when we're Christians, when we're believers, we all ought to have that testimony. I used to live something else, but now God has done something in my heart. I live according to his word. So among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Whatever come to our mind, we were just doing it. But when we come to know Christ, we realize that we become prisoners. You know, a prisoner, when he goes to prison, he can't do what he want to do no more. Yeah, I mean, he can't, you know, I want this to eat. No, this is what we serve, and you're going to eat this. And when we say this time we want the lights out. When we want this stuff, it's going to be that way, or you're going to be in trouble. So a prisoner realizes that they are controlled by somebody else. Somebody else's rules, somebody else's regulations, they're controlled by. When we become prisoners to Christ, we are not controlled by our own lust of our flesh, lust of our mind. It's God, what does your word say? We surrender and submit ourselves to the will of the word of God. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But I love the next verse, and we won't get into that tonight. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. We thank God for the but God, and we'll talk about that on next week. Thank God for the change that he has made in us. Thank God for the change that he is still making in us. I remember somebody say, I'm a construction site, and there are signs all around. He's still working on me. Amen. But even at a construction site, they do make progress. Praise the Lord, somebody. And some of us use that excuse for years. I'm a construction site. But yeah, at a construction site, they do make progress, or they might get fired. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you for truth. Thank you for cleansing us, Lord, from the inside. Allowing it to reflect on the outside. Lord, as Paul said, this is what we did in times past. This is the way we were in times past. Each one should have that testimony of where you brought them from. Maybe some things, shady things, sinful things, dishonest things. Lord, things that it should shame us when we think about it, God. Many of us should be able to say, yes, we walk like that, but God, your grace has come and changed us. And Lord, when we think about the how beautiful it was to have grace come in and rescue us, we don't want to disgrace grace. We don't want to take advantage of it, Lord. We want to cherish it, realize how precious it is to us. Pray, God, that we would just meditate on this word that you're speaking to us, and that we would resolve in our hearts that we're going to follow you, Jesus. The songwriter wrote the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Let us come to that conclusion even tonight. Deal with hearts for it right where they are. Let people come to a place of repentance as David did, Lord. Just acknowledging their sin before you, God. Acknowledging that they need you in their hearts and their lives. Without you, God, we cannot live this holy life. The children of Israel tried to do it for years. It never worked. But God, when you come on the inside, you change us from the inside out. Wash us, Father. Make us clean. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have a couple announcements that we want to make mention of tonight. So don't forget, we won't be having Friday services until further notice. However, on this Saturday, we will be having service. It'll be a youth service for our young people, and I'm encouraging all of our young people to come and be a part of it. We typically try to have these combined youth services, but because of the pandemic, we're not able to do that. Others that may hear this from some of the other churches, please know you are invited to join us online. Amen. You can join us through Facebook or through Periscope. The youth service this Saturday at 6:30 p.m., it'll be for our young people here at the church, for our young people. We'll continue to do our virtual services 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. on Sunday morning. Don't forget, this weekend we'll be having some guests from Indiana. Brother Nathan Bryan will be coming with some of the brothers from his church. And Brother Nathan will be preaching for us on Sunday at 12 p.m. And we'll be having both a virtual prayer line and a prayer line in person. So if you are here in the church and you want to be prayed for a particular condition, we invite you to come, amen, and do that. I think it's, we want to have some of the saints here, but we also have been receiving some requests for those that cannot make it. Amen. Those that cannot make it, they'll be submitting their requests. But if you're here, amen, and you can make it, we want to invite you to come out and be prayed for. I really believe God going to do something special. I was just thinking to myself 3 years ago, amen, Sister Tanya had, she was mentioned to me earlier 3 years ago, she had a situation where she was healed of cancer, amen, after a prayer line that we had in Jeffersonville. We went to Jeffersonville, and after a service that ministered and then Brother Nathan prayed, Sister Tanya was healed of cancer. And just last year, we had another miracle. Brother Joe Underwood and his wife, Sister Rebecca, were believing God for a child. Well, after Brother Nathan prayed, time goes by. Now the pictures are out of the baby being born. They had been waiting for a number of years for this child. That was a great miracle that happened right here in this church. So I'm coming on the expectation that God going to do something else. There's other things that have happened over time. But when we do these services, it seems like God never lets us down. So I'm trusting that God's going to move and meet us here in a very special way. And just want to ask that you continue to keep the services in prayer. But that'll be happening on this Sunday. So keep that in mind. Also, those that are online, you do have the ability to be able to give, amen, through offering. We have that through Cash App as well as through PayPal. And if you desire to use Cash App, then just use the cash symbol Spirit and Truth T. Cash symbol Spirit and Truth T. We would be able to receive that. Also, if you want to use PayPal, just make sure you choose the option send to a friend or a family member, send to a friend or family member. And when you choose that option, then you will get the ability to just put in the email address of giving at john423.org. And then from there, you could give through PayPal. So keep that in mind. If you desire to just mail an offering in, you can do that as well. The church address is there at the bottom of the screen, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, 3951 Haver Hill Road, Suite 109, West Palm Beach, 33417. And you can just take a picture of that screen on your phone if you want to, and that way you'll have that information readily available. Also, I did want to make mention, we were encouraging you to download the new church app. We have discovered there are a number of little issues that have been popping up with the church app, and we are trying to work through that with the company that we're using. So if you don't already have it, please make sure you keep the old app, amen, which was you would go to custom church apps and then download, our app from custom church apps. Make sure you keep that until we get things sorted out. There's a number of things that just, we thought were kind of working, but it's not working to the way that we would like. One of our biggest pet peeves is we couldn't get the use of King James Version Bible. And that's something that we all use. And I think it should be very, very normal, that they should be offering a King James Version Bible. I think they only use the NIV, and they mentioned something about they need enough churches to request it before they give a King James Version. I say, oh, no, that's not going to be acceptable. We got to have King James Version, we're trying to work with them on this, and if we can't get it worked out on some of the other things that we have, we got a list of things. We can't get it worked out. We will be looking at a different platform. But for right now, just keep using the old platform. It works. Just keep using that until we can get things all sorted out. So just keep that in mind, for now. So we did mention it, but if you can, just stay with the old one for now, and we will sort through, you know, this new church app, or it might be a whole new platform altogether. So just keep that in mind. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that we're able to give, as you have given to us. Thank you for your blessings, Lord, that have, Lord, just overtaken us in a time like this. You continue to do the exceeding, the abundant, above all we can ask or think. You meet our needs. God, you rebuke the devourer for our sake. You open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings where we have room not enough to receive. You continue to move in our finances, and we're so grateful for that. I pray, God, that as we give for the furtherance of your kingdom, that you would replenish, that you would restore, God, all that the people would give out, and that you would bless all that they set their hands to do. God, be glorified and magnified in our lives. Father, we ask that you would bless us as we leave this place tonight, this time, this gathering. Lord, that your spirit would just continue to deal with our hearts, that you continue to minister to us in only ways that you can. Help us to draw closer to you, Father, is our prayer. And God, we pray for traveling mercies for the brothers as they're coming here to just be a blessing to us this weekend. Meet us, God, in a very special way. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost come, Lord, and just make the difference in the service. Be glorified and magnified in our midst, God. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We say God bless you. Amen. Thank you again for joining us tonight. And may the Lord keep you until we see one another again. God bless you.